Sound of the coffee pouring. Welcome to the Doctor's Brew. I'm your host, Dr. Abdulaziz Al-Khayyat.
And I'm your co-host, Dr. Bassam Al-Mullah.
New place, huh?
Look at this. Are you excited or no?
I'm extremely excited.
I'm a little bit nervous, I'll be honest.
How come?
But this table feels like an interrogation table.
A little bit.
And there's lighting coming down and different setup.
I feel like this is too fancy for us.
No, I don't say that. I think we got this. But I feel like me and you, interrogation table, good cop, bad cop. I think we can do it.
Well, we need to bring back guests so we can actually be the interrogators.
Absolutely.
So, Bassam, today we're going to dive into Doctor's Brew 2.0.
Okay.
Hype, right?
I'm very excited. So what's Doctor's Brew 2.0? What are we doing?
So, you know, a lot has been going on with Doctor's Brew. Besides you coming on, we've been doing a lot of different stuff.
Broke your hand?
I broke my hand. That's been a non-Doctor's Brew thing. Do you like the cast?
I do. Actually, it's a very well-made cast. Whoever made this cast, good job.
Shout out to Amiri. But yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit about what the Doctor's Brew is going to be doing differently from now on. New stuff we're going to do. But specifically, we're going to be exploring our mission today as it relates to community and the importance of community, especially within medical spaces. So we're going to dive into the importance of community and then wrap up this episode with what Doctor's Brew is going to do to help the doctors of Kuwait within our community.
I like all of this very much. So we're going to be talking about community and what we're going to do, especially when it comes to community in medicine.
Yes, okay. Exactly. Okay. But we're going to bring in some new coffee segments. Are you excited?
Look, you know my experience with coffee. Nothing about coffee.
It's horrible.
I know nothing about coffee. I will drink it because it tastes nice or because I need to stay up.
You put the brew and Doctor's Brew to shame. I'm not going to lie to you.
I really do. It's embarrassing. But I'll tell you something. Over the last few months since I've been here, I've learned a lot about coffee. I've learned that you don't actually need sweetener with all types of coffee.
No way. Yeah. Really? Yeah. Who would have guessed?
Because it depends on the type of coffee, where you get it from. But some of them are so nice that you actually don't need to add sweetener.
Yeah, you shouldn't. You know, actually, fun fact, when I started drinking coffee in Manchester, I at first was drinking coffee with a little bit of sugar because Cubans actually put a lot of sugar in their coffee. And that's how I started drinking coffee, was Cuban coffee.
Okay.
But I realized, I was like, this is going to be bad for my future diabetes. So
why?
But I weaned myself
that's
off.
Why I do sweetener. Don't do sugar. Oh, just put sweetener. You get the sweet.
I can't do
without the calories.
The taste, doesn't it bother you?
No, I look for the taste. I like the sweet stuff.
No, I know, but it's the sweetener versus
I can't tell the difference between sweetener and
really?
Sugar. I can't tell. It's all sweet.
You have a whole
I've ruined my taste buds so badly over the years with all my food stuff that I do all the time.
What are you eating, bro?
I eat a lot.
What are you eating?
I eat a lot, and when I do, I just mix everything together. So my tongue does not recognize the difference between the fine taste between the similar stuff, so I can't tell the difference. It's either sweet or salty.
For those of you watching, Bassam, whenever he likes something, he either loves it or hates it with a passion. So he'll be like, bro,
I go in all the time. This is fire. Okay, so
on that note,
yes,
we're introducing a new segment that we're going to do with our future guests, but you are the guinea pig. You're going to be the
I've always been the guinea pig when it comes to you, huh? You're enjoying this, okay, sure.
It's called What Coffee Are You? Okay, so that's how we're going to dive into everything is by starting off with what coffee.
Truth, you having paper in front of you is stressing me out. This is already not a good sign.
You should be stressed. So before we recorded this episode, we asked Dr. Bassam a few questions. Number one, and I'm not joking. I didn't ask him this. Okay, a third party asked him this and he responded this way. Okay.
I forgot. We have to. Okay, what's the question? I don't know.
For those of you watching, orthopedic surgery resident in Kuwait. Kuwait Board of Orthopedic Surgery, okay? I hope the head of the board is watching this. Know this. What is your favorite specialty? Bassam's answer? Psych.
It's true. I like psych.
Thank you.
If I didn't do orthopedics, I would have done psych. I think I've told you this before.
True.
The only reason I don't do psychiatry is because I emotionally can't handle it.
Why do you have to make this so serious?
Honestly, that's the truth. But I actually enjoy asking questions about people's feelings, their emotions, breaking it down to the nitty gritty, finding out.
I agree.
I like it. It's fun. It's actually enjoyable.
It's amazing.
But
How do you go from that to breaking bones to reattach them and stuff? That sounded really dumb on my part.
That sounded horrible on your part.
Yeah, it did.
And you should apologize to all orthopedics out there.
I do apologize, orthopedic surgeons. Okay, so that was answer number one, okay? Number two, what's your favorite medication or procedure? And his answer was dislocated reductions.
No, I said dislocations and reducing them.
Okay,
well, but because you're psychiatry, obviously you won't even know.
I didn't ask you the question. This was a third party. You said dislocated reduction.
I'll explain. What's satisfying about reducing a dislocation is the pop when you hear it come back in. If you're doing a shoulder and you're doing the specific maneuvers to put the shoulder back in place, when it goes in, there's like a small, especially, and you don't only see it and hear it, but you feel it.
That sounds satisfying. I'm not going to lie.
Especially with kids. You know, a lot of kids have pulled elbow. Mm. So all you have to do is just...
What is it called? The sign when, you know, you have... It's not a syndrome, but what is it called when kids often they have their arm being pulled?
That's called pulled elbow.
I know, but there's like another term for it. I don't know, fancy.
I need to study. Mm-hmm. No one wants this. anyways, a pulled elbow. Mm-hmm. The kids crying. And
why are you smiling?
And their parents are stressed. No, because the sound. Let me get to it. You're not letting me finish my story.
Okay.
So this is what happens. A kid comes in. They're crying. Their arm is like this. They can't move it. And the parent is panicking. But for us, it's such a simple maneuver to pop it back into place. And the pop's so satisfying. And then a few minutes later, the kid's fine. Completely fine. And then that's it. You're done.
I can definitely see that.
I like that. Yeah, it's enjoyable.
No, I could see that. The third question, what is your favorite color of scrubs? And
I forgot that there were scrubs in this question. I just thought it was favorite color in general. But I think everyone who knows me will know this answer. It's easy. You don't even need to.
It's orange, guys. Yeah. It's orange.
I actually own an orange pair of scrubs, and every single time I wear them at the hospital, I get relentless abuse from everyone.
Yes, deserved.
Everyone. Absolutely. Even patients deserved. Sometimes.
Absolutely deserved.
Everything. Orange, prisoner, whatever you anything that's orange, name it, that's me.
Well, based off of that, we ran these questions and answers through ChatGPT and AI, for those of you who don't know what ChatGPT is. And it made a coffee drink for you based off of your answer. So we're going to try them out, okay?
This is extremely suspicious.
Okay, here you go. All right. Ugh, spilling.
And then what is it?
There you go. That's the whole point. First, take a sip. Don't read the back because it's written there.
Oh, okay. I will hide the back.
Yeah, hide the back. But have a sip.
I'm low-key stressed.
You should be.
He's smiling. Everyone's smiling. What did you put? Is there any human element inside?
No.
No human elements. No. Okay.
I worried I found like cat poop or something. I threw it in.
This is nice.
There we go.
This is nice.
So was AI correct?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Okay,
take a guess. Tell me what you think it is.
Pumpkin, cinnamon. There's an element of sweet, but there's no sweetener.
Okay. So I'll tell you what it is.
It's nice. Whatever this is, it's nice.
I'll tell you what it is. Okay. You're nearby.
Do I need to know what this is? Is it bad? Do I need to know?
No, it's fine. Okay. It's good.
Tell me.
The result was a salted caramel latte. You're basic.
I'm disappointed. That's very basic.
So basic. But let me explain why.
Okay, I can see the caramel now. Now it makes sense.
Psych. Salted caramel has a perfect balance of sweet and salty, which aligns with the mental balance and complexity in psychology and psychiatry. Look at that.
This was from AI?
AI. No, this is not me.
This is why we need to be scared of AI, guys. It's not looking good.
Reducing dislocations. The smooth, restorative nature of a latte reflects the precision and care in performing such a procedure. That is incorrect. I feel like it's not precise. It's a bit...
No, it depends.
Isn't it a bit brute, you know?
Sometimes you need to be brute. Sometimes you just need some technique and finesse. Most of the time...
So it was correct.
You need technique and finesse.
It was correct.
Yeah.
Last thing, orange scrubs. While the latte doesn't have the orange directly, its warm golden tones and rich flavor evoke the vibrancy of the color.
Did anyone tell you can do ASMR?
I appreciate that.
I really enjoyed my voice. The way you said that just now. I don't know what you said, but I really enjoyed the way you said it.
I like it. So maybe this is your new drink. So we actually do have your preferred drink, which is a flat white ready to go, or do you want your salted caramel latte?
I'll keep my salted caramel. How many calories is in this? That's a real question.
A wise man once told me, if you close your eyes, the calories don't count.
I have a better quote. Never drink your calories, because that's a waste.
Close your eyes and inshallah,
okay,
no calories.
I'll have that. It's okay. Just because we're on the show right now.
Well, I will, on the other hand, have my go-to drink. I'm having a cappuccino today. So.
And you're calling me basic.
I am basic.
So. Okay, fine. All right. But this coffee was nice. I enjoyed this.
It's fire, right? It's going to be a fun segment. But what I'm wondering is, in the future, when we have guests on and it doesn't give us a nice basic answer, they give us something with, like, I don't know, Tabasco.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem.
It's going
to
be a problem.
I think we can't. We
need
to have
a puke bucket nearby in case. Right?
I think we're going to have a lot of problems with people in the future. It's okay.
All right. Let's dive into community.
Okay. So what are we talking about first? Community in general.
Yeah, communities in general. The importance.
Why are they important?
You tell me.
I feel like humans, since the start of civilization, their whole point of existence was to form communities. They need each other and depend on each other. What do you think?
So I think you're absolutely right. In fact, a lot of archaeologists say that a lot of movements in mankind has simply been to unite people. Our shift from hunter-gatherers into other form of into actual civilization is because of, again, community, people banding together. There's something innate about human beings that we seek out community.
Why is that, though? Is it
it's interesting.
I think we could break it down to a few things. We have the social element.
Mm-hmm.
We are born to talk to other people,
mm-hmm.
to need other people.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I don't think you're ever going to have enough, all the capabilities in the world to be able to sufficiently run everything you need to run in your life.
Mm.
Whatever part of your life that you're excelling in, you're going to have another part that you're equally weak at. And you're going to need someone else to fill that gap.
There is no such thing. We are not solitary animals. Mm. You know, we're not meant to be just alone.
Majority of animals are actually like this. Right? Yes or no? Most animals form communities.
Really?
Yeah.
I know wolves for sure.
Wolves. A lot of animals form communities, or at least work together to support each other.
Mm.
All mammals, majority of fish, insects. Look at ants.
Mm.
Ants have communities in the millions just beneath your house and you don't even know.
True.
They're very advanced. I think it's in general any living thing, majority of them will want to form communities because that's a way of survival. I think we've been programmed.
Is it a survival thing, do you think?
Mm. I think that's an element. Why? Because if we are together, if one of us is hurt or needs something, the other person can help them. If you're alone, then you can't.
You know, I think I did see a TED talk about this. I'm trying to remember the details, but basically, animals groups, they ran simulations for, you know, in terms of survival, and the groups which banded together did better than groups that didn't band together. So there is something in with regards to the survival, but for me, especially coming from a more psych perspective, what I find fascinating about community is how, on a psychological level, we require it. We require that connection. And it's a big protective factor, by the way. When we're doing risk assessments for any of you who are interested in psychiatry and, you know, suicide risk assessment as well. One of the things that you have to account for is protective factors, and amongst them is social support. So someone who came in with a suicide attempt being discharged into their home where they have people, you know, a family there to support them, to look after them, is very different to someone who, let's say, is being discharged onto the, let's say they don't have a home. You know, very different circumstances.
Very different circumstances. This also applies in orthopedics. We've had a couple of patients that, again, don't have that home support, and they've broken something, they can't mobilize. So that's something to take into consideration when it comes to discharging, who's going to come and take care of these this patient, what's the plan. It's better for them to stay in hospital because if they do go home, then their mental and physical health will deteriorate. So it's something to consider with almost all specialties, actually.
But you know what, something like on the note of community, something that I feel like is an issue, even like in this discussion, do you notice how when we've been talking about community, we've been really focusing on family? Which that is an important
family,
part.
Family is community.
But what about wider community? See how we haven't factored that in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wider community still exists. Mm. It's still important because you don't only have the family aspect of it. Mm. You will also have different aspects. And that these communities form based on what a group of people combined like together. Mm. What do they like? So, for example, if you go to a gym, there's a gym community in there. You're going to meet people that like the same things that you do. And you basically
I was not expecting that.
There's a gym community.
No, that's facts. Absolute facts.
Like, for example, if I go to a pottery class, I love pottery.
Wait.
What? No, I don't. I'm just making a simulation
here.
It's
okay, just go. Just lie. It's fine.
You go to a pottery class and you meet people that are also into pottery. True. They like to make stuff. There you go.
Yeah.
Form of the community there.
A paddle now that people are banding together through that.
Exactly. It can be literally anything. It can be hunting down cobras in the desert. Mm. That's the community.
And if we also tie back again to medicine here, wider community, if we think about also on a national level in Kuwait, we need to support each other because, like I was just mentioning about like patients who are discharged out into the community again after like a mental health crisis. For people who don't have maybe familial support, they need social services. This is an element of community as well because we have to all pitch in to be helping each other.
Exactly. Yeah.
Actually, something I wrote down here and I wanted to touch up on was the interesting kind of line that exists between the importance of community and physical health itself. Let's say the totality of like health can be measured with years of life, right?
Okay.
And so there are these what they're called blue zones, right? Where these regions have the longest lived populations in the world. Okay.
Okay. I've heard of them. Mm. I think there's a couple in Europe, maybe in Japan.
They're in random places, by the way. Like it's actually really, really random. One of them is Sardinia, Italy.
Okay. Yeah, that's in Italy. Okay.
Yeah.
But why are they the longest lived? Because of what, community?
So a lot of research has gone on in exploring these communities, these places, right? To see what factors, what can we learn from them? Mm. You know, if they're doing so well, what can we learn so that we can apply to ourselves, to our own spaces, our own countries, our own groups? And one of the consistent factors is a very strong emphasis on social connection and community. So these places where people are living longer, they are literally like the people are more united together. They do things together. Neighbors care about each other. They're not just isolated, forgetting about everybody else. So that's something I actually listened on. I listened to a happiness podcast about like positive psychology called the Happiness Lab by Dr. Laurie Santos, Yale professor.
Okay.
One of the episodes was actually touching on this, was how it's extremely important to have community and that this is some of the evidence that shows it. Not to mention that, you know, there's, let me pull up some of my trusty
evidence.
He's
got numbers, here. Guys. He's got numbers on paper. I've got facts. He's done his homework. Good
job. Yeah, so there's a meta-analysis published in, how do you say PLOS Medicine? PL and then the little OS? That's really embarrassing if I'm getting this wrong. Either way. It found that strong social relationships improves odds of survival by 50%. So tying back to what you said at the start there is that maybe this is a survival thing. You know, if we have to go back evolutionarily, it could be something within our genes.
It makes sense from an evolution point of view is that humans survived longer if they stuck together.
Mm. It does. It does make sense.
Humans that were doing things solo, on average, would not survive as long as humans that are banded together. Absolutely. So that's why all humans start forming communities. Mm-hmm. Are not just humans, everything, even animals.
So then let's now. Okay, so we've established community is extremely important. And I don't think anybody coming into this episode would say no.
Yeah. Right? But can I mention something also about the community part that I think is very important? Mm-hmm. Like when you talked about the Blue Zone stuff, Sardinia, Japan, all these places that are that have
Blue Zones.
Blue Zones. Mm. We have to look into the fact that there are things that are also outside their control that's helping them. So, for example, it's not enough to just have community. Mm. You want to have the perfect environment for it. Mm. So you need to have correct time and place. Mm. So there's no catastrophes happening. There's no war. There, you see all these things. True. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if there's
it's difficult to have a blue zone in a war-torn country.
And also weather has to be livable, decent. Well, you have to have resources.
I'll challenge you on that one, actually. Because there are a few blue zones in like Scandinavian countries where like the weather is just worse than Manchester, like just dark.
But Scandinavian freezing. Countries are also very high on depression and suicide.
Mm. It's weird then.
Very high on depression and suicide, so...
But I do know they also have the highest quality of life, contradicting.
You know events. What? All these stats, I don't believe in any of these stats. You have to go live there in person and try it out, and then you make a decision based on yourself.
Don't take his advice. Honestly, trust stats.
Yeah,
no?
you have to try it yourself. Mm. And at the end of the day, it's going to be based on your personal experience. But the whole point of this is that you need prerequisites that are sometimes not in control of humans. Sometimes they are. And if all of these prerequisites are met, then there is a possibility of a community to form.
But can we agree that at the very least, you need to maximize whatever factors you do have in hand?
Yeah, but and then at the end of the day, we're humans. We're self-destructive. We like to kill each other all the time.
There's the nihilism right
so
there.
So you have to keep that factor also in your head at all times.
That's more nihilistic. I'd say I'm more existential in the sense that I think there's a... Yeah, there is, you know... There is a sort of like innate self-destructive nature of humanity, but we're kind of net positive as human beings. You know what I mean? Like we've recently seen some of the most peaceful eras of humanity. If we look hundreds of years back, right? People are living longer. Quality of life across everything has increased across the globe has increased. Life years has increased. Well, I just mentioned that. Net positive, I'd say.
Debatable. Debatable. Okay. So I don't think that's the topic for today, but...
For another time,
definitely.
So tying it back again to like medicine, what's our focus here in the Doctors Brew? Young Doctors Kuwait, the young medical community, okay?
Why
I have thoughts. What?
Why are we specifically focusing on the younger generation?
I have thoughts.
Okay.
You want me to go first?
Yes.
Okay. I think, I kind of want to talk about what I saw was a status quo of community amongst young doctors here in Kuwait. This was my impression coming from Manchester, which, again, number one, could be a little bit skewed, could be a little bit biased. Mm. It's, you know, it could be very different, especially based off where you graduated from and where you're working, right? I personally found that coming back from Manchester, working here, the young doctor community in Kuwait did not have a lot of community or a lot of connection. A lot of smaller communities that go, you know, maybe within your hospital. So if you know a group of trainees or trainees together in like Emiri or Jabal or wherever, there's kind of that little community that quickly disbands and fizzles out.
Yeah, at the moment everyone goes their separate ways.
The second, exactly, you know, everyone starts splitting off, right? So there's that. And then within those, of course, people work in different units and blah, blah. So there's that. But a wider community for young doctors in Kuwait, I didn't exactly see was very present, or at least wasn't very active, not very active to my eyes. Mm. This was one of the inspiration points for me for why I wanted to start Doctors Brew, is because I thought, okay, it all came down to I was learning so much from my peers, let's make those conversations public, right? And that in this way, where I was trying to foster the community here in Kuwait, the young medical community here in Kuwait. In Manchester, for example, there was a lot of events going on for like young doctors. A lot of things that were not necessarily made by other people, but by them themselves. At least that's what I found. Like there was every time exams rolled around, how many teaching events were there run by fellow medical students, older medical students, or junior doctors or residents? A lot, right?
Yeah.
I didn't feel that as much here, right?
No, I agree with you. I've had a similar experience. Mm. What I've noticed is that during medical school, mm-hmm. even in the UK or here in Kuwait, mm-hmm. Kuwait, you'd see that there are communities. They mm-hmm. have, you know, like the students' associations,
yeah.
and they have events and they do all these teachings and yeah. things for the medical students.
Yes.
And then you take a look at doctors, mm-hmm. and they have their medical associations as well. A bit more scientific, mm-hmm. you know, a bit more about specific specialties, and they would also have their events and things like this. But then you try to see in between mm-hmm. the young doctors, the doctors that have just graduated, trainees, assistants, even residents. There is nothing there for them.
Yeah.
And it can be a bit scary, mm. especially if you're starting a whole new job and it's a very serious job. And you have to think about that, the fact that there is nothing there for the people that might be the most vulnerable.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that can lead to a lot of negative things, to be honest. Personally, my experience was that I felt very lost. I felt alone. Mm. I felt I didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to, you know, take it day by day, mm-hmm. just getting through it and just trying to learn as much as possible, as quickly as possible. Yeah. And it was by meeting a few friends within the same unit that I was working in, mm. that's how I like felt a bit more comfortable, because mm. I was around people that are sharing the same values and same concerns that I had. Mm. But that's how I felt. We don't have something like that here in Kuwait.
At least we didn't feel like it was there, because I'm sure maybe people who are watching this will think, oh, but there's this, there's that. At least this is our experience. So not to degrade or diminish any of the efforts that other groups or people are doing. Just this was our experience. I'd agree with you definitely on the point of feeling alone, by the way. I think that's an interesting point that you bring up. I felt very out of place. Very, very, very much out of place here. I've had, after starting the podcast,
the imposter syndrome really hits you hard, huh?
In every way.
It really actually does.
In every single
you
way.
You don't believe it, but then it really hits you hard. You're like, what, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's interesting. It actually exists. And the amount of people that feel it too. The amount of people who have come up to me with the podcast.
And the thing is, you can't, like, it's hard to say it out loud. Mm. Because you feel like you're saying something that's making you look weak. And for some reason, there's a stigma that a doctor can't be weak.
I'd argue doctors should be reflective on their weakness. Otherwise, they are a less powerful doctor.
Okay, I like that. They should be able to recognize their weaknesses. Mm. But this is not weaknesses in terms of technique or medical knowledge. Or no, we're talking about personally weak.
Feeling vulnerable.
I feel like that's frowned upon, or it's a stigma.
Yeah.
Especially, for example, in surgery, you can't act like you're tired. You can't act like you haven't slept in 3 days. You need to be locked in all the time.
Yeah.
You know, for example, it's been transitioning to a bit better. Like now they care more about well-being and mental health and mm-hmm. all that. But it still needs time.
It's still lacking.
Absolutely.
And that's, again, tying it back to community. This is why it's extremely important to have stronger communities, because when you're feeling weak, when you're feeling lost, confused, you need somewhere to lie, rest on, you know?
You need a shoulder to cry on.
You need a shoulder to cry on. Yeah, seriously, like
Aziz, you can always cry on my shoulder at any point. Okay, that's horrible. Definitely cut that out. Absolutely.
You know, every time you've said cut that out, that it stays in for your name.
Okay, fair enough. Except.
And one.
Hold on, let me get the salted caramel in.
That's a bit too intense.
It's nice.
I don't know how you made me digress so hard. I forgot even what I was saying. Community, yes.
Okay.
Shoulders to cry on. Anyone's shoulders except Bassam's. What's it called? When, you know, if you're feeling like lost, confused, upset, and you have a, even just if it's a podcast to tune into, I hope that's what we're trying to achieve here, and say, no, we also feel this way, and this is what we did. And maybe, you know, the thing is we're not exactly, and we need to, in this podcast, The Doctor's Brew, one thing that is quite central is that we're all young doctors. We all need to approach our community with a degree of humility, right? So, like, we're not fully board certified. We've not done everything. We can give advice to the best of our knowledge, but I learn a lot from talking to people about what they think, their experiences as well. So, like, I've had people come up to me and ask me about the USMLEs, for example, or applying to the States. And I just chat with them. And through that conversation, the back and forth, I learned something as well.
Yeah.
Right?
I think everyone has something to offer.
Yes.
And leaving your ego at the door is essential, to be honest.
I like what you said there. I think that's the thing I want to highlight. That's actually the third point that we have here, which is about, like, how are we addressing this gap, the Doctor's Brew? How does the Doctor's Brew address the gap, which is that in Kuwait, there is not enough community and educational resources for young doctors banding together, right? And the way that we're going to approach it is with what you just said. Everybody has something to offer.
Yep.
Not only, like, even as a junior doctor, you have something to offer. And we want to create a platform and a community where everyone can be, whoever can come to show what they have to offer, help others, but also seek help themselves when they need it, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to gel everyone together and take all the strengths from everyone and also offer anyone who needs help with anything when it comes to their weaknesses.
Yeah.
That's a very big thing, because as a junior doctor, you will have a lot of weaknesses. Yeah. Let's be honest.
You have to.
And these weaknesses are sometimes, you know, like, I'll tell you something about myself. I've only discovered that I have these weaknesses recently because of, like, new events are happening in my life. I'm like, you know what? I'm actually not the best at this particular situation, or I'm not the best at this specific topic. And it's just something that, as a person, as you grow and develop, we're all in our 20s. Mm-hmm. We are still not,
some are older or younger. Well,
yeah,
not younger, but some are older.
But I feel like we have a lot to learn about life in general.
Yes,
not just medicine, but life in general. Mm-hmm. And these things come with time. They come with the years.
And everyone has a little piece that they can learn, right, from each other. And there's something that we can benefit from each other. But we need that platform, and that's where the Doctor's Brew comes in.
Okay,
we are this table.
I like it.
Okay, we are the table. This is our
salted caramel.
The salted caramel is the doctors.
This is fire, by the way. Yep. I'm never ordering this again, though, because of the calories. I will enjoy it now.
I can sense the calories.
But I'll tell you something. I'm drinking too much. Oh, I'm getting very excited.
It's okay. You don't need to sleep, Adi. But yeah, so what we want to do is be able to showcase the talents and abilities of different doctors to help fellow doctors. So, for example, we have been working very hard over the past few months with a group of volunteer doctors. We have our events committee, and they've been coming up with these monthly workshops and events. For those of you who've been tuning in and attending, thank you for attending. These workshops are aimed at addressing the issues that a lot of junior doctors are facing, that they don't necessarily need advice from, you know, a board, like people who've completed the board, but residents themselves can offer valuable advice. We did our intro to trainee year event, where us as assistants, as first year residents, were giving our thoughts and experiences for the incoming trainee batch. You don't need a professor to come in and do that, right?
Yeah.
We just need each other.
Sometimes you need to break that barrier down. You know, there's a barrier, especially in medicine, when it comes to the hierarchy. Medical students, then there's junior doctors, and then residents, seniors, fellows, consultants, and there's always a barrier between each of those levels. And we're trying to form a community where we're breaking these barriers down, not in a disrespectful way, but in a way to try to band the community here and try to join forces so that we can do better, basically.
And, you know, the thing is that when you do this, I think that this is a mutually mutually.
We need to add that to the dictionary of Aziz's mispronunciations. Usually, I'm the one who mispronounces things.
No, I've been past 2 days. I don't know why.
You need some more coffee then.
You know what?
By the end of this, we're both going to need to use the toilet.
We're going
to
be tweaking.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's a mutually beneficial experience. So for example, let's say you are a resident, right? And we're running a workshop for trainees for a given clinical skill or something. By sharing your experience, you then add something. By coming on, helping teach these workshops, running these events, you add onto your CV. You get leadership and teaching experience yourself. And then on the other hand, obviously, the incoming trainees are learning something from their peers. And I think what this is also something we don't often talk about, but equally as important, if not more, is you are planting that seed of the importance of community, because then they're primed to think, oh, I'm going to go and teach them.
Yeah, they're primed to think this is a good thing. I'm going to do it again and again. Yes. And I want to be a part of this.
And medicine always needs new people. And it always needs to be better, and it's always going to be harder. So we need this is how we keep the machine running.
When you do the snowball, and it just keeps snowball affecting, going bigger. Exactly.
So just to summarize a little bit of the things that we're going to be doing within our platform of Young Doctors, we are going to be, again, keeping up with this podcast. We've shifted gears a lot. We have tried out different things, but we're going to be moving more towards having one strong, well-researched episode a month with an expert guest.
I'm the expert guest.
I'll call you guest. We'll leave the expert part out for you.
Absolute disrespect.
So we're going to keep up with our podcast because we want to talk about the things that are important to our audience. Then we're going to keep up with our regular monthly workshops. The third thing is we are going to be really focusing in on community building events, like on a more social and mental health or wellness focus aspect. So like, remember the paddle tournament we did a few months back? People loved that.
Yeah.
People loved being able to, just hang out with their colleagues, play some paddle, It was a good time.
Yeah, I think we need more of those.
We do. I was actually at during one of the interviews I was at recently for residency, they were talking about how the residents do retreats, they do, regularly exactly. scheduled stuff.
They do this.
Kuwait is tiny. The Young Doctors community in Kuwait, we can band together, do a lot of fun stuff. We're cool people.
Ish? Yeah, I mean, I'd say I'm cool. I don't know about you.
Okay. Cap.
Especially with that cast.
And the last thing that we're going to also be focusing in on is volunteering opportunities. So for volunteering opportunities, a lot of our events we run are fueled by volunteers. So we're always going to be encouraging volunteers to be coming on to run these events, think them up, do them. And again, volunteering we can look at it on two sides here, the professional and personal side. On a personal side, it is extremely important for self-development. I learned a lot through all my volunteering experience, and it's definitely enriched my life. And volunteering is not just flying to a third world country and volunteering there. I think this is also another thing to kind of drive home.
I feel like if you want to volunteer, mm-hmm. you should be able to volunteer anywhere. And it's not just about, because I've noticed that people do the volunteering tip, but usually it's not actually volunteering.
Yeah.
Sadly, they go there and they just travel. Tourism. To go for the traveling part. Yeah. And you're actually volunteering.
Yeah. So get active within your own medical spaces here.
If that's the type of person you want to be, then you can go for it. But I feel like there's more.
It's more enriching, definitely.
Yeah, it's more enriching if you actually
dive in with it.
Exactly. I like how we're finishing each other's sentences. Telepathy.
We are.
We're locked in.
I was gonna say simpatico. Okay.
we're symbiotic. We're like the whale and the shell that's on the whale that's cleaning it up.
Okay.
I don't know who's who in that.
Dibs on being the whale.
Okay.
I think you're too tall for that for me to be the whale. So all in all, podcasts, monthly workshops, community events, volunteering opportunities. What we're behind the scenes, we're going to be working on collabing a lot with local brands, people of interest to really help enrich the community. And for all of you guys who are watching and follow our socials, please make sure to join in as a member. You get discounts on events, extremely important. And thank you for the support. And also, we want to hear you. We want to hear how we can help you best. What are the things you struggle with? How can we deliver that to you? And we will do our very best with that. Yeah? Anything to add?
I think that sounds good. I like it. So I think basically we can definitely do this. What do you think?
Welcome to the Doctor's Brew 2.0.
Absolutely.
See that?
Absolutely. That was a Hollywood moment. Am super excited.
I'm hyped.
I am ready to jump off this chair, but I know I'm going to be out of the frame and this coffee will spill. Because, by the way, I've already spilled this 3 times. But yeah. We cleaned it up, so it's okay.
Do we want to now close off with our coffee, our final coffee segment of the day?
Okay, so our final coffee segment of the day is going to be the final sip. Mm. And it's going to be our guest telling us a story about a patient interaction that they had. And
I don't know why you were so hesitant with that. You look.
I'm trying to make it dramatic. Oh. I'm trying to.
I wish we can dim the lights.
Yeah, I'm imagining, you know, the who's going to be the millionaire music playing in the background. And I'm like, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So this, it's usually an impactful story. So okay. I want to hear your story, Aziz. I want tears to come out of my eyes.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be tears, but...
Or it could be happy tears or sad tears.
True.
I'm okay with anything.
Okay, I'm going to face the camera with this so I can directly tell whoever's watching. So one of the most impactful patient experiences that I ever had was during a rotation I did in Miami. And basically, I was assigned to care for a patient who was in delirium. And they were on dialysis, actually. So the patient was on dialysis, and they were very delirious. And with the delirium came a lot of aggression, a lot of violence, a lot of anger. Every day I'd walk in, say good morning, and the patient would insult me, like, really badly, and I'd just, you know, I'd be shocked. Okay, so 1-2 weeks of this, and I'll be honest, I became a bit frustrated with it. I was getting annoyed, and that wasn't good. That was not good. So I actually took that moment when I was getting frustrated. I decided, you know what? Let me go ask the residents, one of the senior residents that was on the team, about their perspective, because they were very psychoanalytically inclined. And I was curious to see what's going on here? How can I do better? Because I don't want to feel frustrated towards my patient, right? And when we talked about it, we talked about countertransference. And that's when you feel something towards the patient, like some emotion, and it's transferring back to the patient. Like the patient's acting away towards you, you're transferring it back to the patient, and that can impact management. On just reflecting that, on that, identifying my emotions and realizing that I was just frustrated with the condition. I was very frustrated that the patient wasn't getting better. We were trying many different techniques, and it wasn't working out. Just reflecting on that experience, on that feeling, for me, allowed me to find patience, because I was able to differentiate between the pathology and the patient, right? So I stopped, it's not that I was taking it personally, but it definitely didn't sting as much, if at all, after when I kept going in, they would insult me, yell at me, and I'd leave. I was able to brush it off much better. And then we kept following up, kept trying different things. Eventually, I remember the exact morning, I go in, I said, good morning. And the patient looked at me and said, good morning. And then I was like, oh, that's new.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
And then we keep talking and the patient's cooperative, speaking to me. And then by the end, they said, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And as I left, I got really emotional because I was thinking to myself, wow, I mean, without patience, this person wouldn't have been able to get the care that they deserved, the care they needed, right? And it made me really, it affirmed kind of my love for psychiatry, because it made me happy to know that I'm working in a field that is truly helping a misunderstood population. So that was a big reinforcer for me for whenever you're having a bad day with patients, just kind of swallow through and reflecting on yourself. And you'd be absolutely surprised with what you'll see on the other side. It's sometimes easy to be disillusioned and think, right, there's no hope. But no, there's always hope. And when you actually make that impact on someone's life, it's something that stays with you. And it's the thing that kind of fuels you throughout your medical career. So That's my final sip.
Yeah, the tear is right here, bro. It's right here. It's about to come out. That was actually a nice story. I have a question. So how do you, especially with psychiatry, how do you differentiate between the human and the disease or the pathology? How like, as a person, because at the end of the day, you're human too.
Yeah.
Like, if someone's being negative towards me, they're saying, they're cursing, or they're shouting, or they're screaming, or they're looking unwell, even if I am supposed to be trained to, like, not respond to this, from the inside, I'm going to feel something, you know? I'm not, personally, I will not feel good. I'm going to be like, I need to do something about this. I need to... So how do you... Because it's very hard to do, to be honest. I don't know how to do that. That's why I couldn't do psychiatry, because I can't differentiate. I can't.
If I have to be honest, I think, at least for me, the way that I'm able to is when I... when I fully understand that we're all in the same boat. Do you know what I mean? Where, you know, sometimes it's difficult when you see patients who are going through an acute mental health episode and it's really tough on them. And it's you know, it's scary, right? But when I realize, hey, you know, we're there too. We're only a few bad days away. We're a few bad, you know, something pops up. Mental health is not something that affects only like a few people. No, mental health issues are quite prevalent. When I start to realize, okay, no, that could be me, right? And that we're all in that same boat, it softened it a little bit. Made me really appreciate that it's not, because sometimes I feel like especially with psychiatry, people like mix in, oh, well, this person is that diagnosis. But when you have a patient who has a flu, you don't say, oh, that's a flu guy, right? But then when you have a patient with schizophrenia, you're like, that's a schizophrenia guy. And that's wrong, right? There is definitely a difference. And I think, at least for me, accepting and realizing that despite the stigma that exists socially, that we are all in the same boat with regards to mental health, helped me see that the diagnosis does not define the human being. Through that, I guess, and then that combined with exposure, right? Regardless, like, I don't know how you in orthopedics can see so much blood every day and just keep going, but I'm sure that, like, again, seeing it a million times, it gets easier and easier because, you know, it just...
No, I just like violence, that's it.
Okay.
Well... Purely.
That's beautiful.
I mean, you're getting too serious, and I had to say something because otherwise it's getting way too intense right now. Let's take another sip.
All right. Well, I guess that was our final sip of the day. I think that's a good place to close. You want to summarize for us today what we talked about?
Okay.
You can say no.
No, I would love to summarize. So we talked about the fact that community in general is very important. Mm-hmm. Humans, we've established this, and that there is a gap in the specifically in the medical community for junior doctors.
Yes.
And what the Doctors Brew is trying to do is trying to fill that gap and help promote well-being, and as well as trying to support the community of young doctors, because at the end of the day, we all need to be here for each other.
Absolutely.
No one can do anything alone. We're not Superman. Despite a lot of people believing it, that they are like above this.
True. Nobody is.
I think as we get older, we start to realize how much more vulnerable we are. Because to be honest, when I was 15 years old, I felt like I was unstoppable. 10 years later, I feel much more vulnerable, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. That brings to mind when we discussed your skydiving accident.
Yeah, if whoever wants to hear that story, check out the first episode we did.
Yeah.
That was it. Yeah, now I'm too scared to do that. I can't. Yeah. I have too much to lose right now. I can't risk it. I'm
very glad.
I might do.
Okay.
There's always the adrenaline rush. You might need it. You know,
we're going to close
it's
there
the coffee. It's the coffee.
Before Bassam commits to doing anything serious, including crimes.
No crimes.
Anyways, that's the last sip of coffee for the day. Thank you, Bassam.
Thank you, Aziz. And guys, make sure you check out our socials. And if you want to be a Doctors Brew member, to have the first updates to our latest events and workshops.
Not to mention discounts to the events themselves.
Absolutely.
Till next time.
See you guys.